Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, intern Bryce. Cam is headed to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to take in LSU Florida. He said he just had to see a Florida loss in person just once in his life, so he is headed to Baton Rouge. We'll hold it down for the next 3 hours. Talk sports and other things powered by Lloyd's Electric. Thumbs up from Bryce. Cody, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. It's a little weird that you're so far away today. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got my headphones in.
Can you hear me?
I'm good.
Okay. Usually you're just a couple feet over, so
yeah.
I don't know if I need to talk louder or what we should do today, but it's good to see you way up there.
Yeah.
It's a little weird having you up there because you look like kind of like an evil, just like an evil mastermind up there, just with the control board and everything.
Went from two producers to no producers in a real hurry.
Yeah.
Went from having Cam and Julia here to handle this to having to get back here and run the show myself.
We've lost a little depth.
Yeah. We are thin. We are thin at the positions.
Yeah. I like it when you run the board, though. I think it flows pretty well. It's a little different.
It's hard being the lead host and the best producer.
Yeah.
So, like, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, you put your own, spin on it, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's tough.
Yeah.
So we'll...
It's like playing a piano.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully things run smoothly today. Need a good performance from you, though. Need you engaged today. Need you ready to go.
I'm here. I'm here. Like I said, it's good to be here. So I'll be fine. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Health-wise, everything's fine.
Feel solid.
No issues.
It's that time of the year where you wake up and you're like, it's cold in your room, which is good.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, you set the air a little too low maybe, and then it doesn't really warm you up in the morning. So you wake up and it's cold and you don't want to get out of bed. But that's good. I like that feeling.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I can't see today. I'm having trouble with my vision today. I think I may be going blind. So... Other than that, though, I feel pretty good.
All right, solid.
I can't really read text at all, so we'll see how it affects headlines.
What is the biggest story right now of the day?
The biggest story, I mean, Tom Brady passes Peyton Manning.
Okay.
For second all-time on the passing charts.
Second all-time yards-wise, is that what happened last night?
Yeah, 71,000-something.
Seems pretty fitting that it was done on a check down to the running back, right? Like, that was the play that got him over the record, was a swing pass to Sony Michel, and Sony Michel ran all the yards for him. Seems kind of fitting.
Yeah, it worked out okay for him. So you had that. You had the Astros clenching their spot in the ALCS as they took down the Rays. That pitcher for the Astros, Garrett Cole, he was the talk of the town last night. Guy's really impressive, and he's going to be a hot commodity for teams that need a little help in the bullpen. Kind of hoping the Dodgers make a run at him.
At who? Garrett Cole?
Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Did you see his performance yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Sorry, I was trying to get the Periscope link tweeted out. I thought that's who you were talking about whenever you said the Dodgers. But then I heard bullpen. I was like, well, he's not a bullpen guy. But I got what you're saying. Just having your pitchers. Yeah, Garrett Cole probably going to lead the Astros to a World Series and then cash out. Probably what's going to happen, even though we've got a mounting history of like, hey, don't pay these power pitchers a lot of money and give them a lot of years. When you see a performance like Garrett Cole has been having this whole entire season, this playoff run, he's going to get paid. That was dominant last night. You knew it was kind of like the Braves Cardinals game five. It wasn't the same, amount of runs in the first inning, but when you saw that they gave up, four runs in the first inning, that it was over with Gerrit Cole pitching. Yeah, I felt very confident that they had scored enough runs in the first inning to end that game.
Yeah, he held them scoreless through 7 2/3 innings.
No, he gave up a bomb. He gave up a bomb.
Yeah, but over the first 7 2/3 innings, scoreless.
He gave up a bomb in the second inning, didn't he? Or the third inning? It was 4-1 early in the game, I believe. Yeah, okay.
In the game two, Astros win.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're reading the
scoreless 7 2/3.
7 2/3 innings, yeah. In game two, and yeah, he struck out 15. Last night, I believe he went 8 and struck out 10, and he did give up the one solo bomb.
Yep, that's what happened yesterday. Okay. Yep. Yeah, my bad.
Nah, that's fine. I was just confused. I didn't know if he, I didn't want to do the nitpicking thing, but also, I knew he'd given up a bomb, but then
yeah,
I was like,
no,
well,
you were
was
right.
It unearned? But then I was like, no, it can't be an unearned solo shot. I mean, yeah, it could be.
It's the way this article is written.
Either way.
Poor writing. I told you I'm having trouble reading today. So.
You did luckily preface that just right before, so you have a built-in excuse.
Right.
The rest of the day to read the news wrong. So.
Yeah. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. It's all good. So, yeah, that was your sports calendar last night. You had the Astros setting up Astros versus Yankees, which should be a fun series. I do think the Astros win that series just because of the pitching, man. Now, it will be interesting to see, now that the Gerrit Cole pretty much, I believe, is just going to go game four, right? I believe he's planning just to go game four and seven. Is that right? I believe that's kind of, at least that was the plan, with that I'd seen last night. So if you're taking him only two times, only once if it doesn't go seven, that seems like a win for the Yankees. But they also have Zach Greinke and Verlander, and yeah. Feel like the Astros are going to win that series and then go on and win the World Series. We shall see, though. That will be a fun one. A lot of star power in Yankees-Astros. Last night in Foxborough, the New England Patriots win again. 6-0. Another typical Patriots game of 2019. Where the offense doesn't have to do much, the defense and special teams scores and shuts down opponents. The Patriots defense scored a touchdown and gave up one touchdown. If you're going to get that equation throughout the entire season, the Patriots are going to be tough to beat. Now, did you see the stat from ESPN's Phil Yates? Did you see just exactly how dominant it's been?
Yes, they've scored more defensive touchdowns than they've allowed.
They've scored 5 touchdowns and only allowed 3. They've been on the field for 74 drives. 41 of them have ended in punt. 2 of those punts have been blocked. 11 interceptions. 6 turnover on downs. 2 forced fumbles. Allowed 3 touchdowns. They have been a dominant defensive unit. But at the same time, they've gone against Matt Barkley and Luke Falk and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I won't lump Daniel Jones into that group, although Daniel Jones does seem to not exactly be ready. But at the same time, Daniel Jones was lining up with a ragtag group of talent with him last night because every good Giants offensive player was out except Golden Tate.
They're going against a lot of young quarterbacks around the league. That's their next couple of games. They'll be going against Darnold and Baker Mayfield, and then Lamar Jackson. So Brady's just kind of shutting down all these youngsters. All these youngsters got to go against Brady. They're probably feeling the pressure. And in turn, the Patriots' defense is just killing them.
Like we said a couple days ago, doesn't feel like the Patriots will get tested till after their bye week when they go against the Eagles. Feels like they're just going to kind of coast these first 3 months of the season, which seems wild.
Yeah, they're going to be undefeated in mid-November, having not played anyone.
But they're good, and they're going to cakewalk to that division, probably have a big lead to get the home field advantage in the playoffs, and we know that they're really, really tough to beat in Foxborough in the playoffs. Feels like the Patriots are the heavy Super Bowl favorite right now, which is wild because they haven't really beaten anybody. but they might not have to. Yeah. They might have the division locked up by the bye week.
And it'll probably keep them healthy. It'll probably keep them
well
rested.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in terms versus other teams, at least.
I mean, last night kind of showed you what I've been talking about, I think, at least, with Brady. Like, the reason I can't put Brady in my top five, the reason I can't, like, you know, come out necessarily praising Tom Brady. He was fine last night, 31 of 41. Threw a pick, lost a fumble. So, you know, he turned the ball over twice, kind of helped the Giants stay in that game. But, I mean, just pretty pedestrian numbers. You know, 334 yards, nice. But, I mean, a quarterback rating under 90, no touchdown passes. He did sneak two in. He's just playing average football right now. But, I mean, that is all he's having to do, right? That is all he's having to do. But that defense is going to carry him for the first big part of the season.
I don't want to overreact about that defense because I know they haven't played anybody. They haven't really been tested, but just the way it looks, I mean, every game I've watched them in this season, I mean, it looks like one of the best defenses I've ever seen, just in terms of aggression, not necessarily, you know, stopping. They're not just, I mean, you don't see defenses anymore really just hold teams to, you know, 3 points, single digits. I mean, teams are going to score some points, but the way that they're going after the ball and the aggression they've shown.
Well, I mean, the Giants had, what, 161 passing yards, 52 rushing yards, so we'll just call it 213 total yards.
That's a pretty good output for
while also turning the ball over four times.
Yeah.
That is a pretty dominant performance. Pretty dominant.
But even if they do give up some yards in some other games, you know, I mean, the like in the first Jets game, for example, you know, they gave up some trash yards in the second half, but I mean, they were still just going up and getting the ball. And if you can do that, I mean, you know, Stephon Gilmore and those guys, they got a great secondary. So I'm they'd definitely be my favorite right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to be. All right. We are off and running. We'll come back. We'll get into Tennessee, Mississippi State a little bit. It is game day, sort of, kind of, coming up. We are less than 24 hours away from a pretty important game in the Jeremy Pruitt era. We'll talk about it next. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. Back on Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. You don't have to piece out commercial building maintenance to a bunch of different companies. No, 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 no. You don't have to do that. One company can handle all of that. One company can handle all of your needs, and that is Lloyd's Electric Service. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, well, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, residential, commercial, and industrial units and chillers. When it comes to telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. 865-692-6700 or online at LloydsElectricService.com. All right, Cody, let's dive into this Mississippi State game a little bit. We haven't done so far this week. As we sit here less than 24 hours away, how are you feeling?
Well, I feel like it'll be a close game and that Tennessee will have a chance to win the game.
I don't believe. Hey, Bryce, if you turn down something on his mic, turn it back up. I don't know if you – there you go.
All right, we good now?
Yeah.
I think it'll be a close game. I think Tennessee will have a chance to win the game. I don't know if Tennessee's ready to win the game, though. You know, everybody's looking at this like this is a must win. This is where Pruitt's got to show. You know, they've got to get a win here because they're going to go lose to Alabama, and then you're going to be 1-6 going into South Carolina. You would lose everything momentum-wise. People still think there's a outside chance at a bowl. I mean, I don't think that's realistic. But this is one of those games. I think Mississippi State right now, you know, you look at the SEC, right? The top of the conference is really good. Bama, Georgia, LSU, Florida, Auburn. Those are really good teams. The next tier, you got some decent teams. You got your A&Ms, maybe your Mizzou's. But the bottom of the conference, despite the fact Tennessee lost to Georgia State, I really don't think we're any worse than Kentucky, Vandy, Arkansas, South Carolina. Mississippi State is in that grouping. So this should be one of those games where they come to town and you hope that Tennessee can win the game. It's a swing game. It's going to be a close game in the 20s. I don't know who's going to win. My money would be on Mississippi State at this point probably. But, you know, these games we've got left, all besides Alabama, and I would throw Missouri out too, the rest of the games are swing games. But you're not going to win all those swing games.
No, but I feel like you really need to win this first one.
Yeah, I mean, you need to.
Like, if you lose this, like, this game is huge. I don't want to go all the way and call it a must-win for Jeremy Pruitt, but feels like this game is as close to a must-win as you can have without, like, getting fired if you lose it, right? Like, there's certain levels. You look back at, you know, Butch Jones versus Missouri. When he's on the sideline yelling at the referee, I'm trying to keep my bleeping job. I'm trying not to get fired. That felt like a 10 out of 10 on the must-win scale. Like, hey, if you lose this one, you get fired that night. They lost that one. Got fired that night. So this ain't a 10. But this feels like an 8.5 in terms of what I think we assume will happen if you do lose this game. And what I mean by that is you turn around and get shellacked by Alabama. And then you wait and, you know, you try it again against South Carolina. But for the next 2 weeks, it'll be bad. And the potential of what I think could happen to this team if they're not rewarded with some actual positivity. This feels like an 8.5 on the scale of must win. We'll look back on this if Jeremy Pruitt ultimately gets fired and say, yep, this is one of the chances he really could have saved his job. It's a chance he really could have. If he just would have won this game, maybe things turn around. And if Tennessee does win this game, and Tennessee does rally and turn the season around a little bit, I think this will be the big moment, right? Obviously. Now, you'll say starting Brian Maurer led to that, and you know, you'll say, oh, the first half against Georgia kind of set you up for that, but this will be the first time you actually have it pay off with the victory. 8.5 on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to must win, in my opinion.
Yeah, because the alternative is just if you don't win it, you're going to lose. It'll probably be the point in the season where you lose the fan base, the majority of it. People are still showing up for Georgia. I mean, we had a great crowd last week. I think people will show up for this game, but this may be your last real opportunity to keep the fan base on your side because you're not going to beat Alabama. And that's just going to delay another 2 weeks in having a game that'll be competitive. You'll be 1-6. I mean, it'll just be the South Carolina game will just be, you know, it won't feel like a big game. It won't feel like it has any stakes.
No, I say if you are 1-6 heading into that South Carolina game, South Carolina becomes like a 9.5.
Yeah,
in terms of winning.
And then at that point, I'll wonder when he's going to lose the locker room again.
Yeah,
you know, because he hasn't yet.
No, but to me, the way I've kind of thought of this is that it seems like this is kind of a real crossroads for the team and the locker room because if you look at it just like kind of on a chart, obviously you started really low with the loss to Georgia State. Things went down really quickly into this season. You bounce back a little bit with BYU, at least like the first three quarters, and then you go even a little bit lower, you know, after the BYU game. I guess if you're on a chart, we probably gained a little ground actually after the BYU game, right?
Just a little.
Yeah, because we came out feeling a little bit more positive. And then Chattanooga, whatever, it spikes up.
That was your only spike.
But then really. Florida, you're back down just basically right where you are at the BYU
ground
game.
Ground zero after Florida. Felt awful.
Okay, so you went all the way back to where you were at after the Georgia State game.
I was still a little bit above that.
Okay, I was a little bit above Georgia State.
I recall after Florida, I was totally ready for the firing.
Okay.
I was like, let's fire him now, get it over with.
I was above Georgia State, but still below BYU after the Florida game.
Then you had a bye week, which was awful timing. And then you had to play Georgia. They came out and played hard against Georgia, though. Had the lead at the end of the first quarter.
You rose a little bit after the Georgia game just because of Brian Maurer.
Yeah.
And looking like you had a pulse and playing a good half of football. But now you are having, you know, now's the time where either you can get things back on track and get people feeling good and reward fans with an SEC win, or have people really just start making other plans on weekends in the fall.
Yeah, and it's big for the players, too, because the players have got to get a win. Because you can't be in a locker room with just losses building up, just piling up week after week after week. Eventually, you can't show up to play. You know what I mean? You're still going to have your guys, you know, like Juwan Jennings, he's still going to play hard as long as he can. But, I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys just checking out if we lose this Mississippi State game. Because it's hard to keep taking the field like that and losing.
You have to have a payoff eventually. You have to have some positive reinforcement.
You got to have something to look forward to.
You have to see results. If you are busting your ass in the gym, working out, dieting, exercising, running, and you're not seeing any change in your body at all, and you still feel a little sluggish and tired, you're going to say, ah, man, this isn't worth it. Why not just go ahead and eat that chocolate? Why not just go ahead and stay home? It's a little cold outside. You have to see some type of result to kind of keep you going.
Yeah, and I think you got to see something in the future. You got, like, if they beat Mississippi State, I imagine there's still going to be some hope for a bowl game, which I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's realistic, but there would at least be some hope. If you beat Mississippi State, then you got to, you know, you can still afford two more losses.
If Tennessee beats Mississippi State, though, you could look and say that the bowl game dream isn't as unrealistic, right? I mean, you'd have to say, well, at least that could be a possible goal now if you win this game.
Yeah.
Now, as you're sitting here with one win and you're a 7-point underdog this weekend, it maybe, I understand saying it's unrealistic, but if you win this game, I think people all of a sudden start looking and saying that's a goal that is attainable.
You'd have to beat Vandy, Kentucky, UAB, and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be that big of a deal, but, you know.
If you win this game, then you can probably count on a good crowd against South Carolina. You know, unless the weather is just absolutely abysmal. Like, but, I mean, all things considered, you would think the fan base would still show up like it has been. Maybe, like, not 100,000 people or whatever, but you can get a good loud 90. You beat South Carolina, then all of a, you know, then you're looking at, okay, now we just got to beat Vandy, Kentucky, and UAB.
Yeah. The reason I don't think it's going to happen, like, I think we're going to get two or three of those wins in there somewhere. It's just that those are all toss-up games, and I think the chance is very low of us winning all the toss-up games.
I don't view Vandy as a toss-up game. I've made that mistake in the past. Last projection that just came out, like, last week, Tennessee was going to be favored by 10 points over Vandy, according to Vegas. So, like, I don't view that as a toss-up now when you consider, like, hey, the past, you know what I mean? Like, the past 3 years, like, they've beat your ass type
and
of thing.
And they always want to beat us more than we want to beat them.
Sure.
I mean, that's how that game goes.
Now, hopefully, like, if Tennessee, again, if we're looking at just through the prism of a bowl game, hopefully Tennessee would come out and be able to match motivation, especially at that point. At that point, if you're fighting for a bowl game, you would have gotten hot to an extent, right? You have started playing good and got some confidence, so hopefully that would be a different feeling around that game, but sure.
What is the deal these days with the FCS wins?
That was a very Jerry Seinfeld-esque question.
What's the deal
these days?
What's the deal with these FCS wins?
You get one. You can count one towards bowl eligibility, not two.
Okay.
I don't know if are you referencing like what's been going on with Florida, because like Florida fans have been arguing about them being bowl eligible.
Right. Yeah.
They have
two
FCS wins, so they can only count one right now. So they only have five.
They've played two FCS teams.
Yeah, they play like Towson and some other school. I don't know. They played two FCS schools though.
What's the deal with scheduling two FCS teams?
They're still undefeated in the top 10 in the country. Maybe we should start doing that.
Yeah, be fine with me. So we can count Chattanooga. So basically, you just got to go the rest of the way, only losing to Bama and Missouri. And you're in a bowl game.
it's tough, but if you get this one on Saturday, it's a conversation people will be wanting to have. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how big did you make this game?
I mean, based on where we're at, like, you mean, how big is it for Pruitt? Or
just
how big
in general,
is it?
Yeah. I mean, you can.
I mean, just in general, it's like a 3 out of 10.
Sure, I can't call it a 3 because.
I mean, based
on
where the program's at.
Well, I mean, I think either the program can start rebounding or I think the program's going to fall, you know, further down. To me, that makes it bigger than a 3.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm looking at it like nobody else in the country cares about this game.
Well, yeah, that's. I'm not asking about the rest of the country. I'm asking about here in Knoxville.
Here in Knoxville, it's.
Look at this program. You can think about it. Give me your answer after the break.
I don't know.
It's Talk Sports powered by Lloyd's Electric. Back on the program as we come back. Live in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. I was asking, how big is this game? How big is this game tomorrow?
I guess I'll go about a 7.
7? Okay. 7?
7.4.
7.4?
Yeah.
Sure you don't want to go that extra 0.2 and make it a 7.6?
Okay. 7.6 out of 10.
Okay. So you don't really feel strongly about your answers. You're easily persuaded.
Yeah, I don't know how to judge this one. It's weird for me. I mean, it's a noon game on the SEC Network. Is it on ESPN? It's the SEC Network. SEC Network, yeah. So it's the old Jefferson Pilot window. It's hard to call it a big game. I mean, I understand for where we are as a program, it is a big game. It's a big game for Pruitt. It's a big game for probably the momentum, the trajectory for the rest of the season. Problem is, it's just hard for me to call it too big because the season's so bad regardless.
Yeah, but it can get a lot worse, bro. Like, I know it's bad already, but yeah, it can get worse. Like,
I mean, what do you think this game is? Do you think it's the difference in, like, realistically, do you think we can get to a bowl game? I don't think we can get to the bowl game.
I think we can. Now, do I think it's likely? No. But I'd say if you win this game, you have I would call it a 50-50 shot almost.
So,
a 40-60 shot, a 40% chance if you win this game of making a bowl game.
So do you think this particular game could be the difference in, say, 5 wins and 3 wins?
I think it's the difference between 6 wins and 3.
Okay, so I think you think it's big. That's pretty big then.
Yeah, like I think if you lose this game, I'm looking at the residual fallout. I think if you lose this game, the team goes back into the mode where we're just looking to see whether or not they quit.
That's kind of, yeah, I mean, that's kind of
what I'm
worried
about. This is compounding with an ass beating from Alabama, right? This is compounding.
Yeah, because that's going to happen.
With your next game being an ass whipping from Alabama.
All right, I'll go 7.7. 7.7 out of 10. You said you were at an 8.5?
Yeah. That's where I'm at. I don't know how much confidence I have. I think we're all kind of thinking we're going to win this game. Or at least I think there are a lot of people thinking Tennessee is going to win this game. I would say Tennessee fans are fairly confident.
Does it feel the situation's different, but does it feel a little bit like 2013 South Carolina coming off?
Well, that's the hope, right? That it feels like that.
Yeah.
To me, it almost feels like...
It's more desperate than that, though.
You're pretty desperate for a win there.
I mean, that was year one, though, for Butch. Yeah. And that was coming off a close game against Georgia. Like,
Is this more like year two South Carolina?
Yeah.
You were headed to South Carolina in
the
year
2014
two?
Game. That's like, probably a better comparison.
And you would have... We probably should have lost that game down... 2 touchdowns with 3 minutes left. You found a way to win that game.
I was at that game. That was a good game to be at.
Maybe you should go to this game tomorrow.
I was thinking about it, but it's so early, you know. Have to be over there by noon. I don't know if I could be there.
Okay.
I can barely get here by noon.
That's true.
throw in having to park over there, yeah, having to walk and do the whole thing before the game.
Yeah, just forget it. You're just...
I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
If I could get a ticket, I'd go. I mean, if I had a free ticket, I'd probably go to the game, support the boys. You know, if anybody out there is trying to get rid of a ticket, you don't, and you don't want money for it, you're just trying to get rid of it, I might go to the game, if it's lower level.
My mom actually said she had a bunch of extra tickets, so I might can hook you up with one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe. She asked me if I wanted to go, and I was like, it's just hard for me to go to games, obviously a voluntary reaction.
Yeah.
If I do go, I have to skip the fourth quarter, which is kind of the point of going if it's a close game.
Exactly.
So I'm just kind of like, no, sorry. So I'll see. We'll see. If you want me to call my mom, maybe you can sit with her. She's a big fan of Cody McClure.
I'm a big fan of her.
I'm not calling you stepdad, though, if something happens. I'm not doing that.
Wouldn't that be weird?
No matter how many times you ask me to call you dad, I will not. Be a new dynamic for the show for sure.
Yeah, it really would be.
Bryce, how do you feel about the game? How do you feel in terms of level of importance? Because, you know, me and Cody started out on opposite levels, but we've kind of come back, and we're getting close to where we agree. Where do you feel on this?
Well, to me, I think if we don't win this game, we're done for the year and maybe even down the road, because it's going to really hurt recruiting if we don't win this game too. I know that momentum's going to be going if we can win this. So I think it will be a really good thing if we can get this for the recruits.
Yeah, see, I think there is some reward there because, I mean, you haven't had any commits during football season so far. Like, none of these good prospects, at least, are willing to put their name on a team that has one win, and that win is against Chattanooga, right? I mean, the stat was going around that Tennessee is the only Power 5 school without a Power 5 win this year. Or without an FBS win, I guess I should say.
Tennessee is what now? They're the only Power 5 school without an FBS win?
That's the stat I saw going around that Tennessee
is. No way.
That's the stat I saw. I didn't bother to check it. I didn't bother to check it, but that's the stat that went viral this week.
No way. That's awful.
So, like, no one's willing to put their name and reputation on the line. Like, you know what? I'm committing to Tennessee right now. I do think if Tennessee can beat Mississippi State, you will see some positive vibes come back. I do think you would maybe have players not being afraid to say, hey, I want to go to Tennessee. I do think there is a reward from it in that regard. And like I said, I will be worried again that Tennessee will not get over 3 wins if they lose tomorrow. And that means that we all die at the hands of Cody McClure.
Yeah, and it would just be, I mean, even more so than that, though, it would be the worst season ever. It already feels like the worst season ever to me.
You know, the news wants to run out and cover this Mohawk sitting up on top of a car dealership for publicity. I wonder if we'll get the same coverage when Cody kills all of us because of how much we love the Vols. Like, we were willing to die for this. You going to cover us, Knox News?
They probably won't even send a reporter out.
Yeah.
They just want us to wear the black hat. That's what they want. They want us all to die.
They'll call us an embarrassment for Cody killing us all because of how much he loves the Vols.
Yeah.
Crooked media in this town. Narratives. We're willing to die. We put our life on the line for 4 wins, bro.
And all this guy can do is go stand on a roof.
Just going to camping.
I mean, that whole deal.
A little camping trip.
That whole deal, by the way, the thing inspired from the guy from 1988 or whatever, that guy was up on an uncomfortable billboard fighting for his life. I mean, that was scary.
They brought him a mattress. He wasn't streaming his favorite TV shows with the power outlet right next to him.
They brought this fatty a mattress. He's got a mattress. He's probably got a fan in there. He's got his chargers. They brought an engineer over so he can still do the show. He's probably got a little TV set up in there.
He's definitely got a TV set up in there.
Come on.
They weren't willing to die or commit murder.
Wonder what they'll do if a big thunderstorm rolls in.
I would have liked to have seen how the narrative would have been different had it been us. About how we were embarrassing the university and just desperate for attention. And wanting wanting to embarrass the university.
Yeah.
Make it all about us. I wonder how different the narrative would have been. Got a feeling they wouldn't have been rolling the red carpet out. I wish somebody had asked Jeremy Pruitt about it.
I don't give a damn.
See what he thinks about it.
I don't care how long he's up there.
I mean, yeah, you can go on a little camping trip. That's cool. But are you willing to commit mass murder and be willing to die
exactly
for a four-win season?
Exactly.
Are you?
Because that's where we're at.
Because that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Where are you guys at? Really hope Tennessee wins tomorrow. That'd be nice. Be nice to have some positive vibes on the voluntary reaction presented by the McKinney team. It goes live immediately after the game tomorrow. Download the Fan Run app, the TuneIn app. Search for us. Get it fired up. Get it ready to go. We'll be back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, got a, I won't necessarily call this breaking news, but we got a little bit of an update. Cody, does XFL salaries interest you at all?
No, but go ahead.
Well, if it doesn't interest you, I won't say it because...
Well, it might interest other people.
Yeah, you're the voice of the, you're the voice of the fan here.
Well,
you're the common man here.
We have an audience of thousands here. I mean, maybe millions. I mean, I don't care. In fact, I couldn't care less. But a lot of people might like to hear it.
No, forget it.
Why deprive them of it just because I don't want to hear it?
Because you said you didn't want to hear it. You didn't care.
I'm not the only one. I mean, there's many people out there that might care.
Well, then maybe you should have cared for them.
How about if I care for them?
Cody, got some news, not necessarily breaking news, but an update. Do you care at all about XFL average player salaries?
Not unless it's over $54,999 per player.
Luckily for you, my friend, it is $55,000.
Really?
Barely meets the cutoff. It was close.
It's about where I would have pegged it. $55,000, huh?
XFL players will make an average salary of $55,000 a year. The Upstart League wrote in a memo distributed to player agents. Players who are drafted and retained by XFL teams will become full-time employees as of December 4th, 2019, and if they remain on a roster, they will remain employed through May 31st, 2020. Between the base salary, a bonus for being active on game days, and a bonus for being on the winning team, the average player will make $55,000 a year.
I wonder if that includes other things like... You know, like a travel stipend.
I'm sure that there'll be a per diem when they go on the road. Not much, probably like $10, $15, but I'd imagine they have to provide meals too.
That's not much.
I just mean if your job's paying you $55,000 a year, they're probably not buying you like $100 meals when you go on the road. Probably not. Maybe not. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know.
No, I was just thinking like a hotel room. I wonder.
Well, I'd imagine the team is covering that too. The team's not making them book their own hotel room. Although Vince McMahon is, you know, owner of the WWE, and whenever wrestlers travel, they have to take care of their own accommodations. So I don't know. Maybe.
I saw their top stars leaving in a van by themselves. Didn't even have a driver.
Yeah. So they have to kind of take care of it themselves. And so I'd still imagine the teams are taking care of travel and lodge.
I mean, I guess $55,000 a year is still a pretty good gig just to play football. You know,
it's $55,000 for December 4th through May 31st.
Yeah, basically. So that's okay. So they could.
So for 4 months,
they could drive Uber in the other months, or yeah, you know, be a pizza boy, whatever they want to do.
Work,
you know,
construction or something in the summer.
Yeah,
I mean it's better than making $0, but I would imagine that that's. Bryce, see if you can Google how much the average practice squad player in the NFL makes. I'd imagine it's more than $55,000, but probably not much more if you're just strictly a practice squad player.
Maybe like 70.
But the XFL players will all be allowed to leave their contract at any time if they get an NFL opportunity. They'll be able to dip. They won't like have to be stuck there under contract, so that's at least a positive.
If you're a practice player in the NFL for an entire season, you would earn a minimum of $136,000.
Okay.
So that's well over double.
Yeah.
It's almost triple.
I wonder if there'll
not
be...
Not quite.
I wonder if there'll be any practice squad players trying to double dip and play in this one, too. Actually get, like, reps and stuff since the league's kind of... I doubt it, but...
I wonder if... Would they allow them to do that? I mean, could they be stopped from doing that?
Yeah, probably. I doubt the NFL teams would like that. And plus, like, you have to be on the team December 4th. So, like, if you're getting $55,000... On average, now there might be some outliers. Maybe the stars are making a little bit more. And when I say stars, I just mean like the guys you've heard of. Like maybe Landry Jones, right? Landry Jones, who is your star quarterback of your Dallas franchise. Maybe he makes more. And I don't even know if he's actually the star of the Dallas team yet. Maybe I just assumed that because Bob Stoops is there. I guess they haven't had their draft. So maybe those guys will make a little more.
When I saw that first draft, I don't think I had heard of more than like 10 of those players.
Yeah. So, you know, my kind of dream here, or at least the anarchist in me, wanted to see actual real money being thrown around as an alternative for big-time college athletes. Like your freshman, your sophomore, who maybe want to go to the NFL, but they can't, but want to make a lot of money. Like the XFL offered Trevor Lawrence $1 million next year to play for them instead of Clemson before going to the NFL. That was my dream, is that they would do something like that. But if you're saying your average salary is going to be $55,000, I'd imagine that's not going to be happening.
Well, is it the average salary is $55,000 or yeah. Every player will make?
The average salary.
So every player will not make $55,000.
Every player will not make $55,000. I would say you'll have some that go a little bit less because they won't be on the roster. And get the roster bonus. They might be on a losing team, which that would suck. That'd be hard to keep team chemistry together if you're not getting the winning team bonus. And then you might, like I said, you might have some outliers on the high end of guys making more for whatever reason.
I wonder how much more. I wonder how much they're willing to go.
Yeah.
If they could get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you know, because he would automatically become the star of that league. If you were to pay him $1 million, would that pay off in terms of marketing and actually being able to push your product?
I would say just getting people talking about Trevor Lawrence for the 2 weeks that it will happen would be worth $1 million in marketing.
I wonder if he would be a star in that league.
I would say it'd be enough to get some eyeballs on the TV. Now, he hasn't been great this year.
Like take a freshman. Take Trevor Lawrence or Tua or whoever when they were freshmen. If they were to go this route, they are playing against guys who are quite a bit older than them. Now, they weren't good enough to be NFL players.
And the AAF had some rules about pass rushing, so I don't know if the XFL will or not. The AAF tried to give the makeshift offensive lines a fighting chance of protecting quarterbacks because they're like, hey, people want to see teams that are allowed to score and guys who can complete passes. So maybe there would be some rules that aren't, you know, allowing you to blitz a lot of guys and maybe get your quarterback hurt.
I just don't know if there's ever going to really be a need for this, you know? No. I don't know if the demand is there for this because people act like they want football in the spring and everything, but, I mean, really, there's enough going on in the spring between basketball, baseball getting started.
I want football in the summer.
Yeah, I don't.
But, like, I mean, most of these cities probably don't want these players, and, you know, it doesn't make sense from opportunity situations for a – guy wanting to be in the NFL, devoting all of his time to the XFL when he could be trying to work out and get into training camps for the NFL. But, like, when I want football is, like, July. June and July when I'm really bored and there's nothing on TV. Like, that's when I would like to watch some football. Not in January, like you said, Cody, right after the NFL is winding down and right when NBA and college basketball is at a full-fledged. And I could do without football then. By then, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm kind of over this to an extent. Like, yeah. it's a good stopping point.
The only way I think this could ever work is if the NFL, if they condoned it, you know, if they wrapped their arms around it and made it into like a farm system for the NFL. But
they tried.
But then what happens
AAF,
with college football?
And they tried that with the AAF, and it still didn't thrive. Big Josh asks, will SEC players make more than $55,000 off their likeness? I would say the starters would. Nah. I don't know. I would say no. I would say your big stars would, though. Like Trevor Lawrence would, if we're just having that argument, like he could probably demand close to $1 million for his likeness, maybe.
I mean, based on what it does for the university, it depends on where that money's coming from.
Yeah.
Does that come from the private sector, or does that come from the university?
Yeah.
Because he's making them a hell of a lot more money than that.
But I would say your average SEC player, I would say no. But you will have guys who are well-known and guys who are good players. I'd say they would. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.